together. He's bringing out a new album of piano music that will absolutely cause you to cry when you hear it. What an anointing. And when I was listening to the words today, I mean the music, I was singing the words in my heart as I was listening to this new arrangement that's just the genius that only Johnny Minnich has. And the Holy Spirit just breathed a word to me. What do we need that's greater than Jesus? What do we need? What would we want that's even greater than Jesus to us? Everything you need, everything you want, we're coming to a place right now in America that we've prayed for. You say, a plague? No, I didn't pray for a plague. I didn't pray for a pandemic. I didn't pray for people to be sick. But in every situation, if you'll praise and worship God, there's going to be glory that comes out of it. We've asked America to be brought back to a place. A good friend of mine was talking to me today, and he said, hey, you know what's happened in this country? I said, no. He said, every idol has been stripped away from Americans. Why are you talking about idols? I'm talking about the idols of everything from baseball to boats to basketball and sports and the luxuries and the things that we've done, that we've worshipped, that have occupied our mind, have been taken away. And here we are. We're just shut down, and that ain't so bad. Pardon my English. But sometimes God just lets everything go away where we can see Him better.
That's right.
We can hear Him better. We can spend time better. There's been more time, family time, in the last week than America's known the last 50 years. I'm not saying the thing going on is good, but I'm saying God will get glory and His church is going to thrive. His church is going to be strong. If you're a believer and follow Jesus Christ, say amen right now. That's good. Do it one more time.
Amen.
See, it's easy to say that. You think, I don't hear. God hears. That's what counts. And I know you are. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being faithful and joining us on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock and then this coming Sunday at 10. And let me just tell you something about the rest of the week. Tomorrow's Thursday. The next day's Friday. This is the week prior to that great event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Thursday and Friday, tomorrow and Friday, in our church right here at the Sanctuary of Hope, 1790 Bee Creek Road in Branson, we're going to have drive-through communion. We're going to have three courses of communion. It's going to be really good. Tomorrow from 9 a.m. till 3, and then Friday from 9 a.m. to 3, you can pull right under the portico at church right here at the sanctuary. A pastor will come out. They'll serve you communion. They'll pray with you, and the next car can go through, and we'll do that. I'm asking you to, you know, you're not supposed to get in public in groups of more than 10, but take a drive. That's okay. Get out in the day and take a drive and come by the church and let us serve. You don't have to be a member of this church. If you're hearing this from any place in this community, come over and let us serve communion to you and just have a sweet time. And then on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. when we start the service after the worship time, I'm going to lead the entire congregation in a virtual communion. It's going to be great. So if you don't have your Welch's grape juice, get some Kool-Aid. Do something. It'll work. It'll be okay. Get some crackers and some juice. If you have time now, knowing from Wednesday to Sunday to do that, get prepared. And I'm going to lead you in communion on Sunday morning. We don't have an Easter service like we would, but that didn't change the resurrection. It certainly didn't change the power of God. It's just the way we're doing things for a little while. So join me tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 3, Thursday here at the church, and Friday from 9 a.m. to 3, and come by and we'll serve you a great, great time of communion, pastors will, and then Sunday morning we'll come together as a congregation, virtual congregation, online, and we'll all have, not only will we have communion, but the Word of God. And it's so good to know that Jesus Christ has risen. Amen? Amen. That's a good amen. I've got a word for you this evening. And it's a powerful word. Let me just say this. Thank you for your support to this point. God has tremendously blessed this church with faithful, faithful people, and you are faithful. With PayPal, if you haven't ever done it, I've got people, many people are doing it now, it's so easy, I understand, and it's just easy. I'm here so I can bring my tithe and offering. But if you can't be here, PayPal, you can mail it. Again, to 1790 Bee Creek Road in Branson, Missouri, 65616. And you will have it there. And people have done that. You can stop it by during the day and pastors will receive it. But thank you, thank you, thank you for your continued support. Don't let up an ounce. Don't let up a second. Keep on and watch what God does for you. The blessings will come back to you far greater even than the support that we need for this church. So thank you for that. Genesis chapter 26 is the Bible study tonight. So if you want to get the Bible, if you're sitting there and watching, or there's some of you together or one of you together, grab your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 26. I'm reading from the NIV version. You can read from any version. And the crux of all of that we're saying is going to be exactly the same regardless of the type of English that was used, if it was older or newer. But I'm going to talk to you about this entire, a good part of the chapter 26 in this Bible study tonight. The Bible says in chapter 26 of the book of Genesis, chapter 26 of Genesis, starting, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. Now, let me just tell you, and thank you, Lonnie, for putting that up. Let me just tell you something about this famine that's going on. This is Isaac, the son of promise, and he was almost in a mirror image situation as his father, Abraham, was. You know, Abraham was promised by God to have a son when he and Sarah were 90 and 100 years old and past anything thought possible. And then God gave him the promise, and then a few years goes by, and Isaac is born, the son of promise. And God gives a covenant agreement with Abraham. It's a covenant agreement that's so phenomenal that it's hard to comprehend. He said, like the stars are in the sky, like the sand on the seashore, I'm going to multiply you out of this son of promise. And I'm going to give you a nation. And we know that nation to be called Israel. It came from Jacob, the son of Isaac, and Jacob's 12 sons of 12 tribes. This enormous, enormously powerful and influential to this day nation known as Israel. Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. This country, this impossible promise that God gave Abraham was being work now in the first generation. Isaac was the first generation of promise. And he was in a famine exactly like the famine in the time of his father Abraham. It says, beside the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Now, this is, you can go on, Lonnie, as I'm talking. Y'all continue going. This is a Philistine king in Egypt, and God told him to go there. So it says this, that he went on to this king of the Philistines named Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I'm telling you to live. So he says, go to the land of the Philistines and go to this particular king. So he goes. Stay in the land for a while, and I'll be with you and will bless you. He's continuing on in the covenant promise that Abraham was given. Now Isaac is experiencing. Now I want you to listen all the way through this teaching tonight. That the promise that God gave Abraham that was being experienced with Isaac is much like the anointing and the promise that God gives us that we're experiencing through the covenant promise of the blood of Jesus Christ for us. We're the generations following the giving of the covenant. And this is the foreshadowing of this in the first covenant and what we call the Old Testament, or this first covenant. Here is a foreshadowing of what Jesus is going to do and what we live in, what we have available to us. He said, stay there and for a while, and I'll be with you and will bless you. That's the covenant promise he gave Abraham. For to you and your descendants, I'll give all these lands and confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. Now, that's strong words for God. He said, I swore an oath to Abraham. Now, I'm going to ask you to respond now with a big no. I'll tell you the answer now. But how many of you even think that God's capable, by his own standard he puts on himself, how many do you believe God would lie? The answer is no, none of us, right? We'd never believe God would go back on his word. And that promised covenant that he gave to Abraham was backed up by his word. Now the promise and the covenant we live in is backed up by the blood of his son. How much greater is the covenant we have? I want you to understand who you are and what you are and what you have available to you. And I want you to start practicing and living more in the covenant that we have today. But let's look at how it all began. The next verse says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I'll give them all these lands, and through your offsprings all nations on earth will be blessed. Has that come to pass? Somebody say yes. Absolutely. It's come to pass. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws, he was faithful to the word of God. Listen to me. This is not the time to be anything less than faithful to the laws and the ways of God. This isn't the time. Now listen, when this thing peaks, this thing we're in, I'm not even going to give it a title. When this thing peaks and then dies off, don't let your covenant agreement and your commitment to God die off. Don't do it. It's so human, so in our nature, that when the pressure's on, we're in church. When the pressure, the good news starts coming, everything's over. Well, we don't have to go to church. We don't have to tune in. Yes, you do, because there'll be other things that are coming. I wish I could tell you this pandemic is the only thing that we're going to face in our life in this generation. But I have a belief. It's internal. It's based on the word of God, but I haven't got a prophetic word. I dare not say something that I think. I would only say what God says, and he hasn't told me. But I believe this is the beginning of things that are going to come, not in a worrisome, fearful way, because if you see how God provides for you during this time, then you're going to be strong for the next one and the next one, and you're going to know the power of God that come what may, I'm a child of God, I'm living under a covenant greater than the Abrahamic covenant. I'm living under the covenant made by the Son of God, the Savior of the world, by his blood. And God is going to help me, so don't slow down. He said this to Isaac. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. He continues on in verse 27. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, and this is kind of funny, and it's not funny. This exact same thing happened to his father Abraham when he went to Egypt with Sarah. Identically. I mean, you talking about father, son. Rebekah was a beautiful woman. And Isaac knew the story of how that Rachel was going to be looked at and possibly taken, his mother. And he was afraid of him. Abraham was afraid. So he said, this is my sister. What does Isaac do? Follows the same suit. He's not in Egypt. He's in the land of the Philistines. Because he was afraid to say she's my wife, he thought these men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah because she's beautiful. So, and this, we're just going to go through this real quick because it's funny how that if we're not careful, we'll follow the patterns of our past. Amen? That was a weak amen. Amen? it's not a word of defeat. That's not a word of compromise. It's just saying we need to be careful that we don't follow the patterns of our past. Some are good and some aren't good. This is where Abraham failed. This is where Isaac failed. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, there in Gerar, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah, and he knew this ain't his sister. And it infuriated him. He called Isaac up. He called Rebekah up. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife." It wasn't a question. It was a statement. Isaac answered him, "Why did you say she's my sister?" And Isaac answered him, "Because I thought," here we get in trouble. You see, don't read the word too quick. "I thought, please," and I'm talking to me more than maybe I'm talking to you. When a circumstance comes your way, a situation comes your way, and you know how it was handled in the past, and you start adding your logic to it, and your spirituality and your wisdom outside of the wisdom and spirituality of the Holy Spirit that never changes, you're going to do something that's very, very costly, and that's thinking for God. When Saul was the king of Israel, Samuel told him, "On a certain day, I'll be there and I will sacrifice to the Lord, and the Philistines that are coming around you, God will subdue them." Well, the day came, but about 2 days before Samuel was supposed to be there, Saul was starting to get antsy. Saul was starting to get worried. He heard the words of the people. He saw the circumstance, and he began to think. So he knew he didn't have the right to sacrifice before God, even though he was a king. He didn't have the right. He didn't have the background. He wasn't a Levite. He wasn't a priest. He was a king. And even his kingship didn't give him the right to do certain spiritual things. So the day came and Samuel wasn't there. Saul became antsy. And instead of waiting for the day, early in the morning, he gets up and he does something spiritual. Everything we do spiritual doesn't mean it's of God if it's out of the will of God, out of the plan of God. And if it's driven by your and my thoughts, by what we see, what we think, what we hear. Well, I'm going to do something spiritual. Samuel isn't here. About noon that day, here comes the prophet. Just like he said, he would, "Listen to me. God's timing is more important than your actual event you're in. God's timing will never be too late. God's timing will never be too late. Ever." Samuel comes and he sees the altar and he smells the burnt offering. And he says to Saul, "What have you done?" He didn't know he would do this. He didn't think he would. But Saul was spiritually dull. And listen to me, church, this is why I'm saying don't slow down. Don't back up. Stay in the house of God. Stay in the church of God. Stay in the membership. There's strength and power of coming together, even if it's online, and worshiping God, let alone when we come back together. Stay connected. Saul looked at Samuel and he said three things. "I heard the voices of my own army saying, we're going to do something because he's not doing anything. I heard. I saw the Philistines marching closer and closer to us and surrounding us. And then I thought you weren't going to come." And Samuel said, "Because of this, because you acted, even if it's something spiritual, you saw, you heard, you thought, the kingdom, your kingdom is being rent from you. What are you saying, Pastor? Is it a warning? Absolutely. Absolutely. God doesn't run on terror. God doesn't love, run and operate on worry, and he's not too late. He tells you he's got a covenant with you. He will keep you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will sustain you. He will do great things, but you have to be in the circumstance that allows the greatness of God to be unfolded without you trying to do it for him. Wait on God. Oh, trust in God. Believe and keep that covenant agreement. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she's your wife and you shouldn't have done this. And why do you say she's my sister? And he said, because I thought you might kill me or someone might. The next verse says that Abimelech said, What you've done, you've put us in a tremendous amount of danger. What if one of my men would have taken her and slept with her? Abimelech, being a Philistine, had the moral fortitude to understand that he would have been in trouble because Isaac was a son of promise, and Isaac opened the door to the enemy. Church, listen to me. Your sons and daughters of promise don't open the door for the enemy to have a chance. If you believe what I'm saying, say amen. Listen to this. So Abimelech gave orders and he said, anyone who molests this man or his wife is going to be put to death. He puts a strain on him. Abimelech's not happy. And then God begins to bless Isaac because he's part of the promise. Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year he reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Listen to me. Listen to me. He was there in the middle of a famine. Have you forgot that? He said a famine just like it was in the day of his father Abraham. We're in a famine right now. What kind of a famine? We're in a famine. We're absolutely shut down in America, trying to shut down a killer that's going around the world. And we're going to do the right thing. This isn't an attack on the church. This isn't an attack on the government. It's a thing. We're coming together in unity around the world to say, let's kill this problem by not spreading it. It's a famine. But in the middle of a famine, are you listening? Yes. I know you are. And I know, I want you to hear this so clearly. In the middle of a famine, the man became rich. Oh, Pastor, I don't know how to see that. I'm going to tell you. You're going to see what God's going to do to bless you in the middle of a famine. Well, what about my job? What about the cutting of hours? What about my opportunity? What about my rent, my house payment, my car payment, all these different things? You have a God that's got the ability to give you more than you can handle. In the middle of a famine, this famine hadn't left, but Isaac's covenant had that God had with him gave him blessing. This man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy in the middle of a famine. Pastor, are you saying God can bless me in a time where it just doesn't make sense and it shouldn't be? Listen to what I'm saying. Yes. Yes. Let me say it in Russian. Yes. Let me say it in Chinese. Yes. Let me say it in South. Let me say it from Puerto Rico. And Cuba, our pastors are here. Yes, God can make you blessed in a time when there's a famine on the earth. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Uh-oh, here it came. How in the world can you be blessed when the pandemic is doing everything? You can't even go to Walmart without standing in line and guards watching you and a few. I mean, how in the world can you be blessed? I don't know how, but God does. And I can tell you this. If I tried to explain to you or convince you that God's going to bless you, it would be based on a level so elementary compared to what God's going to do that it would embarrass me, because God's ways are so much greater and he will do for you things you can't even imagine. But he's going to bless you if you'll keep the covenant. Keep being in church. Keep coming to the times at 10 Sunday morning and 6. Are you just trying to drop? No, please, you should know my heart. After this many years, I'm talking to you to be blessed. Your tithe, your offering, your attendance online. These are things that keeps the covenant. This isn't a trick or a gimmick or a gag. This is the word of God saying, hold on to the covenant and God will bless you. So the Philistines became very envious of the blessing. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to go into that. Let me go ahead because it's a whole nother rabbit trail. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up filling them with earth. Now here's the unbelievable thing. In a land that is a desert land, in the land where there's a famine going on right now, the most precious thing, more precious than gold, was water. And Abraham, directed by God and blessed by God, had dug these wells, and these wells were blessed by God, and they were water. They were water in the land of Gerar in the Philistine territory. And as soon as Abraham died, the second he died, the Philistines came and they began to fill them up. Verse 16 says this. Then Amalek said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. In the middle of a famine, God was blessing him. They couldn't understand that. In the middle of a famine, God was doing great things for him. In the middle of a famine, the wells that his father had dug that supplied the most precious element that existed, they had stopped. I know this is hard to believe, but in a time like this, when God's blessing is ready to flow up out of the flowing power of God, out of the fountain, all my fountains are in him, all the glory of God. In the middle of a famine, when God wants to bless you, bless this church, bless your home, your health, your finances, and do great things for you, there are still people that are living in envy and fear and worry, and they don't want it. It's always been. They don't want a move of God. They don't want a supernatural. Just let me get through this. And the fear overrides the faith. They're going to try to stop up your wells when it's the most precious thing that's there. So Isaac moved away because Abimelech said this, you've been blessed when the rest of us haven't been blessed. You've prospered when the rest of us haven't prospered. You've grown when the rest of us are living in a famine. We're afraid of you. We're afraid of this supernatural act that's going on. Move away. But let me just tell you what was happening. God was actually, you think God was involved with this? Somebody say yes. What man thinks and what man's plans are. Remember the joke I told you, the greatest joke I ever heard. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. They're always hilarious compared to God's plans. Here he is. God's moving Isaac out of the land of the Philistines, and he has to do it in really nice ways. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me, church. I'm going to encourage you with this, and I want you to take this to heart. God is moving you away from things that are keeping you from the presence of God, and he's using this to do it, and he's bringing you back into a place that you cannot believe. It's going to be back into a place greater than the place that your fathers and mothers and our ancestors had, greater than the revivals of the years past. He's bringing us there. So the Bible says Isaac moved away and he encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. He thinks I'll move 8 hours away. And when he did, Isaac opened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham. Now Abraham lived a long time, and it wasn't after he died that they filled those wells up. But the Bible says that Isaac reopened the wells that the enemy stopped. There's a lot of people here listening to me tonight. There are hundreds in these services, as many as 1,000 on some service. That's just homes. It could be 5,000 if there's 5 in a house, or 2,000 if there's 2. But literally thousands have been listening. And I want to tell every one of you something, and I want you to get it in your heart and get it deep into your heart, that God, when we unstop these wells of our fathers, that's one thing. That's saying, God, give us the old days. And that feels good. God, give us an old-time revival. And I'm telling you, I love shouting. Don't you? I love dancing before the Lord. I love a genuine move of the Holy Spirit like I saw growing up. So I'm going to dig those wells out. And the Bible says, and he gave them the same name his father had given them. He's going to relive the glory of what his father did. And I'm telling you, I have been guilty. And you, maybe not, but I think all of us many times are saying, God, give us a revival like we used to have. Give us move of God. There's nothing wrong with that, friends. There was nothing wrong with Abraham's well. It was a godsend. It was a blessing. It was water in the middle of a desert. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a fresh well of water there. And let me tell you what that is. In that particular well, that first well that he's talking about there, that well was called living water. Have you ever heard of living water? Give me a drink of that living water. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4. I've got a drink for you like you'll never be thirsty again. It's living water. What that well means, go back to that 19 again, Lonnie. It says this, Isaac's servant dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. That actually in Hebrew is this of living water. It means this, it's a spring-fed well. So instead of just a well that it filled up in time from groundwater or whatever, this was one that flowed. I mean, it was the best. It was a well. And you say, God, that's exactly what I want. I want a fresh well. In my mind, I can remember revivals in my father's church growing up. I can see men dancing before God in a move of the Holy Spirit. It was genuine. There was no one there to tell about or a magazine to write about or a video. That was real. And I think, God, give us that real living water again. Go on to verse 20. But the herdsmen, they'd moved out from the city. They made the first move away from the things that were going to inhibit them from growth because Abimelech was afraid of their growth. There'll be people around you that's afraid of the growth of God in your life. I promise you, they will. They'll be intimidated by the growth in your life. They won't want you to drink from that well, and they'll do what they can to stop your well. Say, Pastor, you being critical? No, I'm saying be careful. Not every voice you hear is the voice of God. Don't listen to voices of despair and gloom. Don't listen to the voices that try to inhibit you from growing. Move out. God will work with you as you do. And so when these herdsmen came, they said, hey, this, you know, even though we weren't going to undig the well, it's ours. This is our water. You're still in Philistine territory. So Isaac names the well Esek. Man, that means this. It means contention. A well, as good as it was a well of contention. The old living water, the glory of the past, still there was contention in it because it wasn't further enough, further out than God wanted them to go even further. So the Bible says that he moved again. And then they dug another well. But they quarreled over that one the same way, still in Philistine territory. And Isaac said, okay, you're Sitnah. opposition. Contention is going to stop, try its best to stop your growth from God. Even when there's blessing, even when it's a tendency to think, man, we're living here with a spring-fed well, or we will move now and go a little further away from the world, a little further away from the religious voices, a further away from anything that's trying to inhibit me from growing in God. Listen to your pastor. I'm saying there are things that want to keep you in a certain place, but God's wanting to expand your territory. He said this, I'm going to name this one Sitna, which means opposition. I don't need contention in my life that comes out from God or from the church or from religious people. I don't need opposition from God, me growing closer to God and committing myself to God and following the will and the plan of God. So he goes right to the border, right to the border of the land of the Philistines, and he digs a third well. So he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it, and he named it Rehoboth. Now, Rehoboth means this, all the room you want, all the territory you like, lots of space. That's what it means in Hebrew. Saying, now the Lord has given us room and we'll flourish in the land. Here's another concern that you must have. Number one, there are people that don't want you to grow and flourish, so you'll move further away from them. And then they'll come in and they'll begin to tell you things. They'll contend with you, and it'll be little religious things and scriptural things. And there's not that freedom that you have in God, that peace. You move and you dig another well. And I'm not talking about really moving away. I'm talking about spiritually. You move further away into the place God wants you to. And then you have another well, and opposition comes. And everything God tells you, there's always opposition. Well, I think, or I saw, or I believe. That's what Saul said. I saw the Philistines, I heard the army, and I thought, and he lost his kingdom. As good as Rehoboth was, an open space, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. It still wasn't the place God wanted him. I'm telling you, when the famine's over and the plague's gone and pandemic's over and we come back and, oh, we have a glorious time in God, we still haven't arrived at the place God wants us. He wants us to go somewhere that's so fundamentally new and powerful and us that it doesn't have anything else in it but the power of God. From there, he went to Beersheba. Now, it wasn't called Beersheba when he went there, but the most incredible thing happened. From there, verse 23, he went to Beersheba. Verse 24, that night the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm the God of your father Abraham. I haven't changed, not one bit. Don't be afraid. I'm telling you right now, the God of Abraham is your God. There is not one different. Listen, in God's economy, the time from Abraham and the time today wasn't more than a click of the finger. He doesn't work in time like we know it with beginnings and ends. He's eternal. He said this, and I say it to you. I'm saying this to you under the anointing of God and with the word of God and the truth. The same God that covenanted with Abraham has covenanted with you through Jesus Christ. And he's saying, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Woo. Listen to me. I'm going to say it again. Do not be afraid, says the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of David, the God of the disciples, and the God that you have given your life to through Jesus Christ. He's saying, don't be afraid. I'm with you. You have a greater covenant right now than Abraham had. You have a greater covenant than Isaac had. You have the covenant of the blood of the Son of God. What glorious things. What do we need? What in the world do we need more than Jesus? He said, I'm with you. I'll bless you and will increase the number of descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. He's saying to you, I'll bless you and I'll let you grow for the covenant blood of my son Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the absolute fact. God wants you to have confidence in his covenant. He wants you to have confidence in his word. He wants you to know that this immutable God can't lie or change by his own standards he's placed on himself. And he's saying to you, I'm going to bless you. So listen to what happened. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched a tent, and there his servants dug a well. Look at this. Don't read fast. He dug a well. This wasn't his daddy's well. This was Isaac's well. Three of the wells were the wells of Abraham. Three of the wells the Philistines had clogged up. But now he finally moved out of the land of the Philistines into Beersheba, where Abraham used to live. I want to go back to the presence of God where my father lived. I want to go back to the move of the Holy Spirit of God where my father did. But I can't use my father's wells. I need my own well. You need your own well. He dug a well. Continue on. In verse 27, the Bible says this. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar, and he had his personal advisor and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, why have you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? You didn't want me. You didn't want me to grow in God. You didn't want me to have blessing. I had to get away from that spirit, that presence. And they answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us. Between us and you, let us make a treaty. He's saying this, you don't bother us, and we won't bother you. There's no hatred there. There's no resentment there. There's no need to get even. Religious people may have hurt you. Religious people may have stymied you. Religious people may have tried to keep you someplace and stop up the wells of God. And God's saying, all I'm saying to you is move out into a place where I put you, where I'm going to bless you, and it's not going to be the blessings of your father. It's going to be your blessings. And he said, beside that, we're a little afraid that you may hurt us. They saw the power of God in Isaac's life. And God, listen to me, God will show the power of God through your life. He'll do it. I promise, if you're faithful. That's all he said to Isaac. He said, you've kept the commandments of your father. Your father kept. Well, we've got the word of God and the commandments of Jesus. Don't slack up. Don't back off. Don't quit involving yourself, praying, reading, fasting, giving. Be part of it. Stay right there. And God will move you until he gets you to Beersheba. He said, just as we didn't molest you, and we treated you well, and we sent you away in peace. Story kind of changed a little bit there. But that's okay. Isaac didn't say a thing. He didn't get mad. He didn't get resentful. Don't do that. Don't ruin the future out of something that happened in your past. Don't do it. Don't let that seed get in you of sentiment of poison. When someone comes to you and says, you were right, we were wrong, and we want to make a... Say, fine, that's great. That's what Isaac did. Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank together. What an incredible rest and sleep Isaac had that night. Instead of getting even, He could have taken those three guys and tortured them. He didn't do nothing. He made them a fantastic meal and then sent them away. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left in peace. Now go to 31. That day, now listen to me, when Isaac followed God's plan, I don't care what anybody tells you. You've got the right to feel this way. You've got the right to get even. You've got the right. You're over here now. You're out of that territory. You don't have to come under there anything. They're coming to you now. Take care of it. And these thoughts that are human come to you. Get rid of them. Give them, fix them a steak and a baked potato or whatever they like and send them on their way. That day when he did that, Isaac's servant came and told him about the well they dug. We've found water. It wasn't the well of Abraham. It wasn't the well of the past. It wasn't the well of even blessing and bad memories and good memories. It was none of that. This was a fresh new well that this son of covenant dug for himself. And I brought a word to you tonight that's so powerful, if you can grasp it, if you can listen to me. God's got new wells for you. Just stay faithful. Stay true. Follow God. Don't let up. Stay moving forward with God. He called it Sheba. Listen to this. He called that well Sheba. He had named the other ones. There was Isaac. Contention. There was Sitna, opposition. There's Rehoboth, where there was plenty of land, but it wasn't God's plan. Now he has his own well, not his father's. And he names it Sheba. To this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. Beersheba. It's still there. It's powerful. What does that Sheba, what does Sheba mean? You told us what Eslek meant. You told us what Sitna meant. You told us what Rehoboth means. Well, let me just tell you what Sheba means. It means the well of the oath. I've anchored in Jesus the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus. Because he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. That's your Sheba. Your well. Your well. Not someone else's. Not an organization. Not a man. Not a book. Not a seminar. Not nothing. Your well. And your well will stand eternity for eternity and eternally because God has given you your well. And he wants you to have it today.